Are you struggling to hire diverse tech talent? After all, every organization in the world is now a tech company, and the ability to attract, hire, and retain tech talent from all backgrounds is critical to their success. Enter Hackajob, a reverse marketplace that actively vets engineers. We flip the traditional model on its head, meaning companies apply to engineers versus candidates applying to jobs, with companies getting an 85% response rate to candidates they reach out to, as well as exposure to tech talent that directly meets their organization's diversity objectives. Companies such as S&P Global, CarMax, and Sensor Tower are all using Hackajob. Why not join them? Go to hackajob.com/cheese to get your free 30-day trial today. Go to hackajob.com/cheese to get your free 30-day trial today.
Hide your kids. Lock the doors. You're listening to HR's most dangerous podcast. Chad Soash and Joel Cheeseman are here to punch the recruiting industry right where it hurts. Complete with breaking news, brash opinion, and loads of snark. Buckle up, boys and girls. It's time for the Chad and Cheese Podcast.
Oh, yeah. Some call Jeff Bezos a space cowboy, but Chad calls him the gangster of love. What's up, boys and girls? It's your favorite podcast, a.k.a. the Chad and Cheese Podcast. This is your co-host, Joel Midnight Toker Cheeseman.
And this is Chad. Is this really going to be the worst Olympics? So wash.
On this week's show, Smart Recruiters goes full-on unicorn. Pando Logic tells AppCast, hold my beer. And porn stars at Kroger. No, wait, that's two different stories. Damn it, where are my notes?
Okay, listener, how can you help your employees become more productive? I have answers. How about automating manual and repetitive tasks, giving meaning to data, then allowing that data to actually drive decisions? And how about matching people to your jobs quicker?
Well, wait, the Chad and Cheese has a new LLM?
No, Cheeseman. I'm talking about TextKernel.
Ah, okay. That makes more sense. What I'm hearing is the groundbreaking concept of, wait for it,
yeah,
simplicity. Seriously, though. TextKernel cuts through the complexities like a tortilla chip through some hot nacho cheese.
Oh, my God. Really? Nacho references already. Anyways, TextKernel brings efficiency and productivity to your operations. TextKernel seamlessly unifies your tools and data to drive efficiencies and success.
TextKernel is creating new opportunities for your recruitment journey, kind of like adding guac to my barbacoa burrito.
Oh my God. How about extracting meaningful insights from data? I mean, that's something. Swiftly matching people with jobs, automating repetitive tasks. Who knew such advanced concepts were even possible in the land of human resources?
We did, Chad. We did. Dude, wrap it up. I'm a little hungry.
Imagine that. Okay, listener, get ready to use today's tech to drive efficiencies and productivity. Visit TextKernel.com. That's TextKernel.com.
Nachos.
First and foremost, I've got to say, your Canadian soccer team took a loss against the U.S.
My Canadian soccer team.
Yeah. Wait, are you allowed to be U.S. now? Is Christine allowing you to actually?
I don't know. Let me check the fridge for my nuts. Yeah. See where they are.
The Gold Cup, baby. Yeah, the U.S. is playing some pretty good soccer right now. Or football for our European
football
listeners. We have a running conversation going in this household of what were or might be the worst Olympics. And we're starting to, I've got my top three, but I want to throw it out to you first. I want to see what Olympics do you think were the worst, top three, including Tokyo.
All right. So top three is a little tough. I mean, the one that stands out in my mind, is 1980. I was but a wee lad at the time, but I very clearly remember my father, who is a coach, by the way, being really upset because we didn't go to the 1980 Olympics.
due to Russia's involvement with Afghanistan, we decided to politically make a statement and bow out of that Olympics for the summer, I believe it was. So that one, I think, is number one. The other number two that would, I guess, be semi-bad would be, I guess, Berlin, when the Nazis put on the games, although Jesse Owens tearing it up was certainly a highlight for Olympic history. Other than that, I'm not really an aficionado on Olympic history. Certainly I watch it and enjoy it, but I'm not your guy for like the top three worst Olympics of all time.
Well, I'll give you a pass. I mean, this wasn't homework, so don't worry about it. But I got to say that the worst Olympics has to be Munich in 1972, the Munich massacre.
Okay.
And then 1996 in Atlanta, the bombing. That was pretty bad. And then 2021 in Tokyo, we are in the middle of a resurgence of a pandemic, and this is all happening. I get Moscow, but my formula is life over sports.
Yeah.
What the fuck are we thinking? I get the Olympics is big and we really want to be back and we want everything to be right, but yeah, it's just not happening, guys.
Yeah, there's a story in the Wall Street Journal about how this is going to be a $3 billion just disaster for Tokyo, which obviously isn't fun. So do you think it's sort of an event past its prime, that it's time to move on from the Olympics?
No, I don't think it's time to move on from the Olympics. I think what we should do is recognize that we are in the resurgence of a pandemic, or still in the middle of a pandemic per se. We need to be smarter about this. I mean, there's no reason we couldn't push this off for another year and make it happen in a much safer way. It makes no sense whatsoever. Plus, you have all these athletes who aren't going to participate because they caught COVID or what have you. I mean, it doesn't feel right to be doing this.
Yeah. So you're not going to watch, is what you're saying?
I'll probably watch much less.
Yeah. So there was a time with, when there were three networks and the Olympics were a huge, huge deal and everybody pretty much watched all of it. It's becoming much harder to cut through the clutter. And unless you're Michael Phelps, racking up gold medals, or Usain Bolt, with fire under your feet, unless you're really blowing it up, it's sort of a niche audience, I feel like, as opposed to when we grew up, when everybody was hanging on everything that was going on at the Olympics.
Yeah, there was less content back then.
There was.
Less options, less choices. So everybody watched the Olympics, yes.
And now I feel like, so one of the stories that stuck out with me was the Netherlands, I think, recently getting fined for not wearing bikinis. Like, how is it a rule that they have to wear a bikini in a sporting event? Like, that seems really archaic to me as well.
Yeah, I believe it was Norway, and go figure, the sexualization of athletes. You get all these individuals who work their asses off to make sure that they are lean, trim, they are ready. And then the next thing you know, the IOC is like, yeah, put on this hot bikini. Oh, not the guys. Yeah, the guys don't have to do this, but yeah, you have to put on these bikini pants. Yeah, those look hot. We want you to do that. It's like, yeah, what the fuck are you thinking?
It's not like, remember the shark suits from years back where people wore full-on body suits that were like shark skin in the pool? Yeah, I could see banning those, but to go from bikini shorts to just like boxer shorts or boxer briefs is a little bit crazy to me.
Yes, very much so. Very much so. Big shout out, as you threw Bezos into the intro. Big shout out to Steve Rothberg for posting on social media that Jeff Bezos isn't Jewish, but his rocket surely is. Yes. We see what you did there.
I'm going to do a little flip on the billionaires in space a little bit. Okay. Last week, I got sort of negative on the whole billionaires in space. But you know what? I don't necessarily want to be, the European in the 15th century saying, like, why the hell are you going out in that boat? Like, you're going to die. You're not going to see anything. It's going to be disaster. Like, I don't want to be a negative, totally negative about this. Maybe traveling into space will lead to really, really good things. So I want to pull back my negativity on billionaires going into space, at least for this week.
Well, I'm going to double down. there's no reason. Again, what they're doing is they're creating this new amusement park, right? That's really, it's an amusement park ride that costs a shit ton of cash that just, you know, millionaires and billionaires are going to be able to enjoy. Those monies, obviously, could be going toward things that we need to fix here. And I mean, if Jeff Bezos and Amazon, was not to mention Blue Origin, actually didn't get federal government assistance. I mean, actually, he received welfare from the federal government. Jeff Bezos. There's so many layers of irony here and hypocrisy. I just can't get on board with it. I just can't do it.
Yeah. Well, I guess time will tell. And unfortunately, we'll probably be gone by the time we figure out whether it was worth it or not.
To be able to come down off this high, this Bezos high, I want to give a shout out to McCormick, you know, the spice company.
Sure.
They posted a director of taco relations job. And this is genius. As the director of taco relations, you will be McCormick's resident consulting taco expert. You will be our official eyes and ears for all things taco. You'll have the opportunity to work with the McCormick Kitchens team to develop innovative and delish taco recipes, travel across the country in search of the latest taco trends, dialogue with other like-minded taco connoisseurs across social media.
Any word on what automated tool they're using to handle the flood of responses to this job posting? Because they're going to need one.
What they should have used was TikTok. And here's why. You have to submit a creative video showcasing your personality and passion for tacos and why you should be the very first ever director of taco relations.
Nice.
They should have used TikTok and TikTok resumes. This is a part-time limited term engagement lasting up to 4 months. You're going to be an independent contractor. But I got to say, I saw Torin Ellis's video yesterday. It is hilarious and amazing at the same time.
He applied officially for this position. Well, speaking of TikTok, I have a shout out for them as well. I know we give them a hard time, or at least I do, with the whole job employment ambition. But new research came out really favorable to them for their advertising. So TikTok ads drive higher responses, intent, and engagement than promotions on other social medias. This is according to a study from TikTok with NeuroInsight, which analyzed the neuro responses. That sounds a little scary. Of 57 people. That's not a real big big universe, but anyway, we'll go with it. 57 people ages 18 to 35. The research also found that TikTok top view and in-feed ads had significantly higher memorability than TV spots and digital video. So a small segment, but hey, TikTok ads seem to work.
Yeah, no, they do work, but they can't work as resumes for all the reasons why we talked about before. It's just not practical, right? I do want to say one thing that will work, I believe. A LinkedIn poll that just closed today had over 3,200 respondents supporting a 4-day work week at 73%.
And this was your poll or someone else's?
This is somebody else's poll that I participated in, but I thought it was a great poll. And I thought, you know, we just talked about the 4-day work week in Iceland, where they're looking to institute a 4-day work week. Microsoft had awesome gains when they did their pilot in Japan. And obviously through polling, we're seeing that, you know, people can do this stuff.
I'm shocked. Yeah. I'm floored that a majority of people would prefer a 4-day work week. That is shocking to me.
On LinkedIn. Many of those people are managers, and many of those people are entrepreneurs, right? Yeah, so who knows?
All right. Shout out to a podcast I listened to recently. The podcast is called Odd Lots. I think it's a Bloomberg podcast. Anyway, check out an interview they did recently with Omni Hotel. It's all about employment, how difficult it is for Omni Hotel to find people, to keep people. It's a really interesting sort of inside baseball commentary by Omni about just how challenging it is to keep workers and get workers. And some of the ideas, one of the ideas I thought is worth mentioning, some of the things that employers or companies, and particularly in the hospitality space, are looking at is can they have fewer, you know, cleaning rooms? All right, that's a time intensive, you know, challenging job. They're looking at ways of saying like, hey, if you opt out of the room cleaning, which a lot of people probably would if there were incentives, would you opt out of housekeeping if you got 2 free drink tickets or if you got 50% off your dinner at the bar or whatever? So companies are looking at unique ways to sort of fix some of the challenges with employment. And it's a really good listen. So again, that's Odd Lots and it's interview with Omni Hotel.
It's very nice. I'm going to jump into birthdays. Are you ready for birthdays?
Sure.
Happy birthday to David Steven Seagal Bernstein over at JobSync. And also thanks to his boss, Alex, for sharing that David is turning 30 for the 20th time. So appreciate it. Happy birthday. And there's nobody who rocks a ponytail in our industry.
You know, his birthday cake was under siege. Get it? Get it? See what I did there?
Oh, there's no male who rocks a ponytail like David does. So happy birthday, David.
A couple of the birthdays that I'll note. Our buddy George LaRock out with your cock out. LaRock, yes, celebrates a birthday. Sir Richard Collins, formerly of Click IQ and now at Indeed, celebrates a birthday. Roy Maurer, our buddy from Sherm,
yeah,
celebrating a birthday. And Brian Chaney, one of our fans over at Indeed, for sure, celebrates a birthday this week as well. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
And by the way, if it's not your birthday, but you still want goodies coming to you in the mail, you got to go to chadcheese.com/free. We just had a beer tasting with Barb Francillo out in Arizona.
Yep.
Very nice woman. She's got very good fashion sense. She was wearing a Chad Cheese t-shirt, which you can also get at chadcheese.com. T-shirt sponsored by Emissary, beer drop sponsored by Adzuna, and of course, whiskey sponsored by our buddies at Sovereign.
Topic!
All right, this one's
hot. No, stop. Breaking news. I have breaking news. Career Builder names Sue Arthur as CEO of Career Builder. Go figure. So Arena got the boot, kids.
Did this just come across your desk? All right. This is hot news for me, too.
Yeah, this actually just dropped a little bit earlier this morning. And wow, it looks like, yes, new CEO, Susan Arthur. We're going to have to dig into Susan. Susan, we wish you good luck in trying to steer this dumpster fire we know as Career Builder.
Remember I said when they got acquired that they'd be thrown into Yahoo and AOL and all those news properties. This is part of that move. I'm telling you, this is part of the rebirth of Career Builder. Just maybe. Arena getting canned is only more shocking than 4-week work weeks getting a majority of people favoring, I think.
Even more news earlier this morning, Pando was acquired by Veritone.
Yes. Now, this one I know about. Okay. The first one he dropped on me, and I might have to research that name. Research that name while I'm talking anything about Sue.
I'm on it.
Okay. So this one's hot off the presses, too. What a busy day we have, kids. Okay. Veritone buys PandoLogic for $150 million in a cash and stock deal. Veritone, which trades on the NASDAQ under ticker symbol VERI, announced it has signed a definitive agreement to acquire Chad and Cheese sponsor PandoLogic, provider of programmatic ad solutions and recent acquirer of chatbot Wade and Wendy, which listeners will remember. Price tag is $150 million, consisting of upfront payments of $50 million in cash and $35 million in Veritone stock. The remaining $65 million in cash and stock is payable based on earnouts tied to financial performance in fiscal 21 and 22. The said deal is valued at about three times PandoLogic's expected 21 GAAP revenues. The stock is up almost 10% on the news. So, Chad, are you ready to add Veritone to your Robinhood account?
This is very interesting and out of left field. And I think we should get used to this. I think we should get used to more companies outside our space starting to acquire and move into the space. Veritone provides structure to unstructured video and audio through the use of AI. It's interesting because we always talk about, like with TikTok, how do you contextualize something that is video or audio unless you transcribe it, you consume it, and then use that data to contextualize it. It seems as if Veritone is doing that. And with all of the video and audio that we have available to us, let's just say YouTube alone, to be able to consume and structure that data to make sense of it is pretty fucking powerful. But I think we should start looking for more outsiders becoming insiders. Core platforms need to start taking a look at this space right now, because they need to buy or face new competitions from outsiders looking to disrupt this space. I'm big on it. I think it's pretty cool. I think Veritone's been around since 2017 or something like that. They're a fairly young company.
Yeah. Yeah. It's much easier for us to comment when, you know, StepStone buys AppCast than it is Veritone buying PandoLogic. In fact, probably most of what I know about Veritone is what you just read to me in this podcast. Now, so what I did research is that Veritone is a bit of apparently a poor man's Palantir, which has had a pretty big year after going public, I think, late last year. Veritone has a market cap of around $600 million, which means this is a pretty big deal.
It is
for them, and it makes sense why they would sort of put a lot of weight on the cash outs based, or the earnouts based on performance. Most analysts that I read for the story are pretty negative on Veritone. It's had a pretty big drop from, I think, around $40 a share to right around 20 now. And again, I mentioned it's up 10% on the day. So the market, for the most part, at least, likes this news and this move. I also think commenting on sort of the dollar amount is interesting. Listeners will remember StepStone bought a majority stake in AppCast, which most would agree is the apex predator in the programmatic space. This was in 2019 for $79 million, although it's been sort of disputed on how much Foreman got out of that deal and whatnot. But so good for Terry Baker and his team for, in my opinion, landing a premium for the company and the product. I think now it's going to be really interesting to see what happens to a lot of the players in programmatic, like Recruitology and JobEdX, who are both sponsors of our show.
Yep.
You got Vonk and a lot of others. It's a pretty limited number of people.
Yep.
So to me, like, the price has been set. Now let's see if we have some buyers.
And this is going to force the hands of the ISIMs of the world who have no core programmatic. What are they going to do? Are they going to acquire? Are they going to partner? I mean, this is going to force them to take a look at what's in the market, because as these technologies start to get gobbled up, there's going to be much less of an opportunity for them to provide distribution, programmatic distribution, performance-based distribution to their clients inside their ecosystem.
Yeah. Do they wait to do that till after going public? So in other words, get money from, you know, public entities and then go buy these folks and say, well, see, they were valued this much on the market, so now our market cap goes up because of that acquisition. I think they'll probably look to do that as part of an add-on after going IPO, but we'll see.
Pando has, they've been in the market for a very long time. They were a real match and then obviously switched over. Branded to Pando. If the acquisition of Wade and Wendy, I think, helps this deal dramatically from the standpoint of more streams of data to feed the beast.
Yeah.
It's all about, at this point, we have to start looking at signal liquidity. Who can gather signals faster, make sense of those signals, and use them to deliver relevant content, data, actions? And it goes further than that. So from looking at Veritone and what they're trying to do, again, consume content that hasn't been consumed before in a way that it's never been consumed, and then provide signal to it, I think is amazing.
Yep. Well, moving on to a little bit of more money and a bigger story.
Money.
A big story until this one came on. Our buddies at Smart Recruiters are on unicorn alert, everybody. The one platform to rule them all rages on. Popular ATS or whatever we're calling the one-stop shop recruitment solutions these days. Smart Recruiters announced new funding this week, raising $110 million in Series E at a $1.5 billion valuation led by Silver Lake Waterman. Total funding is $205 million, according to the company. Founder and CEO and friend of the show, Jerome Turnick, told TechCrunch, quote, "Recruiting is coming out of the administrative function and into value add and sales and marketing," end quote. In the last 12 months, the company added 200 plus enterprise customers, grew revenue 50%, and experienced 70% bookings growth. Can you say IPO? Chad, your take.
Question is, who do they buy with this, right? You know, they bought JobPal not too long ago. What do they buy to add into the ecosystem? What do they do?
Programmatic, perhaps? Programmatic?
Don't know, but that's the question, because as you start to round out and become incredibly integration focused with partners, but also know that there are huge markets, much like programmatic advertising. What do you do? You know, where do you go? That's the hard part. And they are seeing dramatic growth. I think Smart Recruiters, and we're going to talk about Greenhouse here in a few minutes, I think these are some of the new guard in the applicant tracking system game. They are faster. They're much more nimble. And I think, to be quite frank, they're doing a damn good job. It's awesome to see this.
Yeah. You know, I first met Jerome, I think, just when they launched, and he came up to me and said, like, yeah, we're launching a totally free ATS. And I said, well, good luck with that one. It has turned out pretty well for them as they've evolved. To me, this, yeah, I just think I'm ready for the IPO mark arena. I think iSIMS is probably going to go first, and then you're going to see JobVite, Smart Recruiters, maybe Greenhouse all hit the public markets, and then it's game on. We'll have a lot of fun shit to talk about.
Yeah, it's JobVite's turn to buy something next.
And we'll be watching and reporting on it. Let's take a quick break. That was a lot to digest for our listeners.
Human resources is supposed to be about humans. I mean, it's right there in the name. But when your hiring team is more like an assembly line, glued to their computers, manually posting heaps of jobs everywhere they can think of, that human part feels nowhere to be found. This is a new era. Pando IQ takes the mind-numbing copy-pasting and nerve-wracking guesswork out of the job posting process. When you plan a hiring campaign with Pando IQ, you tell us who you need. Then, before you ever spend a cent, we predict what it will cost to find them. Pando IQ chooses the ideal recruiting sites from thousands of options, targeting the ones your next great hire frequently visits, then fires off your ads at precisely calculated times, surfacing the most relevant applicants for you to pick from. Now you're free to get to know the best talent. Build great teams and take care of your humans. Pando IQ will do the rest, so you can get back to doing what the computers can't.
For more information on Pando IQ, go to pandologic.com. That's pandologic.com.
Well, you mentioned Greenhouse. So yeah, they're in the news. Greenhouse this week introduced Job Ad Market, a new functionality that offers customers instant access to thousands of global job boards from within Greenhouse. Users save time while sourcing and receive data-driven recommendations to find high-quality candidates across large and niche job boards. John Strauss, president and co-founder of Greenhouse, said in a release, quote, "Data-driven job advertising," is that a nicer way of saying programmatic, "is an important part of a company's sourcing strategy when searching for high-performance who have a specialized skill set," end quote. What exactly is going on at Greenhouse, Chad?
In the press release, here's a quote. "Using the Greenhouse job ad market, recruiting teams are provided recommendations that help identify the best source for candidates," end quote. So first off, when I read this, I was like, there's no way Greenhouse built this from the inside out. All of the benefits that they cite are really powerful, and it takes a lot of data and a lot of time, and they haven't acquired a programmatic vendor or anything like that. So then I went over to LinkedIn, and Garrett Starr, who's the VP of Partnerships at Greenhouse, posted on LinkedIn about this major announcement. In this post, he thanks a bunch of people from the Greenhouse team for making this possible. And the last two names in that post, one of them was a founder and the other director of partnerships at Vonk. So this is obviously a white labeled Vonk solution. You and I months ago talked about Vonk in one of their press releases saying that they want to use some of the capital that they received to come across the pond. Guess what, kids? They snuck up on you. Here they are.
Yep. Yep. So, yeah, to me, this is a little bit like Spotify versus Apple Music for HR. Spotify may be a superior music service, just like AppCast or Pando or others might be superior in terms of programmatic. But you know what? Apple Music isn't that bad, and the functionality kind of works better with my iPhone, and Siri knows my favorite playlist, so I'll go with that one. So for users that don't know the brands that are in the marketplace, it's going to be really easy and native to them to post a job or do things within Greenhouse and go, oh, Greenhouse has another feature. Like, yeah, I'm going to do that. I'll check that box. And they can funnel all of those users into their product, which they already know is a in-demand product based on the marketplace and what people want.
Right.
So if I'm in the App Store and I'm a competitor now to Greenhouse's white label programmatic or whatever our distribution is, you know, I don't know how I feel about that. It places a bigger importance on my brand and making sure that people like the brand and will bypass the Greenhouse product to use my product. So that's going to be an interesting unfolding as I look. The next move I think that will be interesting is, do Greenhouse and others bundle all of these quote unquote native services to really get an advantage? So in other words, can you buy distribution, programmatic, chatbot, whatever, that's all Greenhouse branded and save money because they're bundling all of that together? And then that really puts the pain on the single providers for that. So also Greenhouse gets all the revenue. I'm sure that's I assume they get the revenue versus the companies in the marketplace where there's actually no revenue share, as far as I understand. So that's to me where it gets really interesting of how the marketplace companies feel about this move. Are they really able to funnel a big amount of customers into their native solution? And do they bundle these services to really put pressure on vendors?
Our listeners need to understand first that this is a big data point, that hiring companies will spend more on recruitment marketing in a year than they do on actual tech like an applicant tracking system or a CRM. So that's point number one. Point number two, for the most part, the ATS and the CRM are not getting any cut on that big revenue stream, right? This could prospectively be a cut on that revenue stream. So Greenhouse isn't getting the money, right? It's going through a white label, although they're getting a slice of it. This makes it much easier as we talk about Pando getting sucked out of the market. It makes it much easier for the ISIMs of the world, for the smart recruiters, for the job vites to actually take a look at a white labeled solution like this and say, okay, first and foremost, I don't want to work with all those fucking publishers. That is a nightmare. The maintenance on just keeping all those job boards, job sites, performance, all that shit is a nightmare. I wouldn't want to fuck with that at all. So why not partner, outsource, white label, all of that, and still get a piece of the revenue? I think overall, Vonk becomes the rails in this scenario, the distribution operating system for the applicant tracking systems and the CRMs in the market. And if they put a few more of these together, you can't buy them out. They are already too fucking big because they're tapped into the market.
Yeah. You're going to see a lot of vendors now rethink their business models to try and get into the ATSs as a white label solution, so that they can be viewed as a native solution and nail down probably exclusives, probably nail down long-term contracts, probably nail down I think significant rev share has got to be part of some of these deals or most of these deals. So you're going to see a lot of vendors go to the conference room and talk about what's our move here? Do we try to white label or do we keep the brand first and front and center? That'll be an interesting conversation that a lot of vendors are going to have in the next 6 months.
Think of the amount of transactions that happen through one applicant client tracking systems for recs that are opening on a daily basis. And every single one of those recs, let's say they post automatically through as a process methodology through a Vonk. At a dollar a piece, how much do you think that's going to be per day?
It'll buy a lot of beer, Chad.
Exactly.
Trust me.
Exactly. So I do want to do a little historical kind of like throwback and reminisce that eQuest in Taleo at one time, they did one of these things and it made John Malone rich, or let's say more rich. Okay. He did an exclusive right out of the gate with Taleo, which was the biggest applicant tracking system at the time. And he was the embedded distribution engine, not performance driven, obviously, just dumb distribution, but distribution engine for Taleo. It was one of the smartest plays I've seen in the industry, period. This, if this can be pulled off in multiple applicant tracking systems without exclusives, that's so much bigger.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to watch the land grab here.
I love it.
Let's get on to another land grab. Kroger and Walmart are in the news. Kroger, your favorite.
Yes.
So we'll start with Walmart and let you get fired up as we talk here. So... A federal jury in Wisconsin on Friday awarded more than $125 million to a former Walmart employee with Down syndrome who the EEOC claimed was fired because of her disability. Though the award is likely to be reduced to $300,000, let's do the math there, $125 million to $300,000. Why only $300,000? Well, the award includes $150,000 in compensatory damages and $125 million in punitive damages. However, $300,000 is the cap on damages in cases brought under the Americans with Disabilities Act. Chad, this is more your lane than mine. What the actual fuck is going on here?
Yeah, let's be clear. Our society and laws make individuals with disabilities worth less than that of so-called fully abled individuals. We are unfortunately still in the prehistoric days in the United States when it comes to treating humans fairly. I mean, that's it. I've had discussions with the EEOC, not specifically about this topic, but I've had discussions with them. And I have to say this administration's only been in place for 6 months. There are new players with real world objectives. I believe the EEOC will start to take these major wage and treatment inequities on. The question is, how fast will we see change? Again, $125 million awarded to, and it took 6 years for her to get here, $125 million. And they say, oh, I'm sorry, the biggest organization, the biggest corporation in the world, or at least in America, they're going to pay you $300,000 instead because we don't believe you're worth it.
Yeah, yeah. There is maybe some silver lining. An EEOC spokeswoman said in the story that appeared in Reuters that the $300,000 cap does not apply to back pay, front pay, litigation costs, or interest, which will be decided by a judge at a later date. Now, none of those are going to be big payments,
no.
But at least some of that will be added. So maybe it'll be like $350,000.
It won't be anywhere near $125 million.
Well, you know who has $125 million and most of it going to shareholders? Kroger's in the news, Chad. What the hell's going on with them this week?
So remember Kroger closed stores in locations where they were being forced to pay a $4 per hour hero pay for essential workers, by the way. Kroger said those locations were failing, by the way. That's why they closed those locations. The Kroger CEO, McMullen, got a $6.4 million raise, more than 45% in 2020, which was over $20 million. A Brookings Institute report showed the first half of 2020 that Kroger's profits were up 90%, 90%. So this isn't a we don't have the money or we work on slim margins bullshit excuse. They're making major bank. Now, using those profits, instead of instituting a $4 an hour hero pay for their essential workers, the people who actually do the jobs and look the community in the eye, instead of doing that, Kroger is planning a $1 billion stock buyback. So the Brookings Institute report also says, quote, we find that while top retailers' profits have soared during the pandemic, pay for their frontline workers, in most cases, have not. This is not capitalism. This is neoliberalism.
Yeah.
This is more driving plutocrats than it is anything else.
You know, what surprised me from the story, and I didn't realize this, that buybacks were illegal basically from 1930-ish to basically Ronald Reagan in the 80s, who killed it. As you said, by sort of the trickle down economics policy that ruled the day back then. And so make no mistake. I mean, politicians as well are getting rich from public companies. And that's a whole other podcast where politicians can actively buy stocks instead of like, oh, I don't know, put it in a blind trust where they don't know what they're buying. So to me, like, unless there's a huge grassroots movement that takes hold, nothing is going to change here. The rich are going to get richer.
So one of my favorite podcasts, billionaire and Pitchfork Economics podcast host Nick Hanauer said, quote, whenever a corporation whines about paying raises, just Google the name of the company and stock buybacks, and you'll see where all the profits are actually going. It's going into the hands of the rich as opposed to the people that are actually doing the work. It's not that hard to understand. And when we talk about individuals who say, well, that person's a CEO of an organization, they deserve it. Inequity at its best when we say something like that. The people who are doing the work on the ground deserve to have living wages and to be able to continue to bolster. And I want to throw your favorite place under the bus here. But when Chipotle says they're raising their prices because of raising wages, and then their CEO takes a $38 million salary, you know what? That is the worst optics, and that is a total fuck you square in your face to workers, right? Yeah. We raised your wages. Now we've got to raise prices. That is total bullshit.
Yeah. And to me, most people, if you told them we're raising costs to pay for our employees, most people would be okay paying that extra 29 cents, you know, for a burrito or whatever it is. And I think Kroger missed an opportunity to say, look, forget the, $4 extra an hour? We're going to go $6 and use it as a PR tool to get people to think favorably about Kroger instead of all these issues of like, these companies suck. They're run by a bunch of dickheads.
But don't say that's why we're raising the prices when your CEO is getting paid 350 to 400 times.
Don't turn around and line the pockets of, yeah. Anyway, well, speaking of lining pockets, I'm going to check my Robinhood account and we'll be right back with a story about porn.
Are you struggling to attract the talent you need today? Do you lack visibility into where your recruitment ad dollars are really going? There's a better way. Acquire ROI is a programmatic job advertising platform built to optimize your budget and supercharge hiring. Acquire ROI automatically manages and measures recruitment ads across job boards, so you can allocate your budget based on insights, not hunches. Get to quality candidates faster and cost-effectively scale hiring across roles, all while gaining complete visibility and control over your recruitment marketing investments. Say goodbye to manual guesswork, inconsistent performance and wasted spending. And hello to optimized automated campaigns that produce qualified applicants. At Acquire ROI, we make job advertising easy. Visit us at acquireroi.com and start transforming your talent acquisition today.
All right, Chad, you're a Brandy Love fan, right?
Oh, she's like Hall of Famer.
Is there a porn Hall of Fame? No, there should be if there's not. There should be if there's not. And you and I could probably name at least half of the people that had need.
Anybody who's been a 12-year-old boy should be able to do that.
Yeah. Anyway, Brandy Love, if you don't know, just Google it, I guess. A porn star who identifies as a strong conservative was initially welcomed as a VIP. She had bought a ticket at a Florida event by the right wing group Turning Point USA. So the group. The group sort of focuses on teens and young folks, which is kind of will be important here in a second. And so Love initially showed up at the Tampa Convention Center on the weekend, posting an enthusiastic photo of herself on Twitter with the caption, quote, "It's good to be around so many young conservatives gives me some hope, end quote. The conference claimed they were protecting the children at the event, which were mostly teens, while Love claimed she was there as a private citizen and not a porn star. I can say that after a little bit of homework, the photos she did post were not very, pornographic. She was, I think, in a sundress or something. So conservatives criticize cancel culture, but are they failing to walk the walk by canceling Brandi Love?
First and foremost, optics. This was a youth group. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes. Teens and young college students, I think.
Optics, not good. Not good. Beyond the optics, hormones, not good. Not good. Most of the boys in there probably know who you are.
Which totally goes against what the organization is, which is a Christian conservative group. So you have all these opposing forces, right? You have these teen Christian conservatives who should not know who Brandi Love is. So it looks bad for the organization when they do recognize her. And then you have a porn star, which, by the way, is a legal occupation in the United States.
Oh, not bad.
A strong conservative, which she has exemplified for her whole life, as far as I know. She comes in a conservative dress. You know, she's not there in a bikini trying to get guys to photograph with her. She's not taking selfies with anybody at the conference. And then you also have this element of speakers at the show. And this was part of the news story as well, is talking about how bad cancel culture is and how conservatives are independent and rugged individuals and yada, yada, yada. And criticizing cancel culture and wokeness, and then at the same time kicking out Brandi Love because she's a porn star. So there's so many perfect storm. None of this stuff should fit. And the conference made the decision to kick her out. Was it right or wrong? I guess it depends on what side you're on.
What would Jesus do?
We out.
Thank you for listening to what's it called? A podcast. The Chad, the Cheese, brilliant. They talk about recruiting. They talk about technology. But most of all, they talk about nothing. Just a lot of shout-outs of people you don't even know. And yet, you're listening. It's incredible. And not one word about cheese. Not one. Cheddar. Blue. Nacho. Pepper Jack. Swiss. So many cheeses and not one word. So weird. Anywho, be sure to subscribe today on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. That way, you won't miss an episode. And while you're at it, visit www.chadcheese.com. Just don't expect to find any recipes for grilled cheese. It's so weird. We out!
Welcome, change agents, to your go-to place for stories that ignite your spirit, fuel your purpose, and connect us all. We believe in the incredible power of the human spirit, its boundless resilience, and the inspiration it brings to our lives. On the Driving Change podcast, we'll journey together through the extraordinary yet very relatable experiences of some of the most amazing people on earth. Our mission? That through these stories, we might just spark change within you and awaken a newfound motivation to harness your unique gifts to make a real difference in the world. So get ready to be inspired and join us on this incredible adventure. You can find the Driving Change podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you love listening to your favorite podcasts.